Hello and thanks once again for taking the time to download and listen to a podcast from CelticUnderground.net. I'm Harry Brady and this week we have a podcast from St Anthony.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.
We've got a rash of podcasts coming along soon. You've just had the interview with the part owner of the Glasgow Rocks basketball team. Coming up, we've got the season review, which, as we put this up, we're recording that in 2 nights' time. We will have a full Resolution 12 update from Altied, putting us fully in the picture of where we are following the Craig White court case, despite the attempts to divert attention to the not guilty guy by many and the footballing authorities. And we also have a podcast interview which is particularly interesting because one of the things that comes out of it is being told that Morris Johnson's still a Celtic fan. And then of course that will all be topped off by the Celtic Underground Top 10 with the Samaras Award. Anyway, enough of me. St Anthony is having a chat with left back Mark Reid. If you listened to last week's podcast, you'll know first team I could throw off: Bonner, McGrain, Reid, Aiken, McAdam, McLeod, Proven, McStay, McGarvey, Burns and Nicholas. We've long had left back issues. When I was growing up, Danny McGrain was right back and then Alan Sneddon was right back with McGrain at left back. Mark Reid came in, moved various others in between, Andy Lynch predating the Sneddon McGrain thing. Anyway, I'll pass you over to him, St Anthony, with him, Mark Reid.
It's my pleasure to be joined today by Mark Reid. Mark was a very popular player for Celtic between 1980 and 1985, and we're going to talk in detail about his Celtic career. But first of all, Mark, we always ask on the website, what was your first Celtic game you remember, and who was your first Celtic hero?
First Celtic game I remember was probably in 1974, Celtic versus Atletico Madrid.
Oh, the semi-final?
Jimmy Johnson. Do you know what I mean? I remember watching it on the TV and I remember him getting kicked all over the place. Do you know what I mean? And then I remember the talk about him not, if they won and get X amount of goals, they wouldn't need to go for the second leg, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I remember it from then. And then, you know, I remember Pat Stanton going there, that kind of era. Doug Leash, do you know what I mean? When I was 14, I was an S form and we went up to training at the start of the season in 1977 and Doug Leash trained with us.
That would be something back then, wouldn't it?
It was great, and their paper talk was all about was he leaving, mm-hmm. because he never went on tour with Celtic to Australia. Mm-hmm. And then it was shortly after that he got a 440,000 move to Liverpool, do you know what I mean? And the rest was history, do you know what I mean? But it was a great experience at 14 years of age, A, to be going up to train with Celtic, mm-hmm. and then the fact he was there training with the young boys, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Great.
So how did the move to Celtic come about then?
I played for the school at under 15 level, but because of when my age came in, I was aged to play under 14. Mm-hmm. And my dad's friend had a scout at Celtic who said that he could get me up to the boys' club. And I was quite keen in that. And I went up. I knew I would do okay because I was dropping a year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I had the experience of playing with older guys. Probably from early on in school. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when I went down, I felt as though I could cope with that. And they asked me to sign for Celtic Boys Club, and then Frank Kearney asked us to sign an S form. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Probably 3 or 4 months later.
So who was your contemporaries in the boys club at that time?
Charlie Nicholas. Danny Craney, Owen Paul McGee, who sang my favourite Waste of Time, do you remember?
That day actually.
Do you mean, for the older viewers they'll remember that.
So his name isn't Owen Paul and it's Owen McGee.
Mm-hmm. Owen Paul McGee, obviously. So he was there, but with a good side. Mm-hmm. And then obviously when we went to under 15 and especially under 16, most of the S forms all came to Celtic Boys Club at under 16 level.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good side then, because Willie McStay was there as well, and a few other players.
Mm-hmm. And who would the manager been that signed you then when you became a professional?
Sean Fallon.
Sean, he was still dealing with the youth.
1976, that was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the 14th of May, 1976. I've still got the cuttings.
That right, yeah.
Oh, I've got loads of cuttings.
Fantastic.
Loads of them.
Now, talking about 1976, the Scottish Cup final was in 1976. Right. I'm sure it's this one. Is that the one that you won the penalty competition?
No, that would be 90. Wait a minute.
Is that further?
No, it would be 76. Yes, it would be.
Rangers and Hearts?
Yes, aye.
Because I remember that for years ago that there was a wee thing in the paper, because you were always good with penalties.
That's right.
So, 85,000 crowd, and you've got to take penalties at half time?
Well, it all kind of started just from school, where I get nominated to take free kicks at Ayr United for North Ayrshire. So it was all different districts, and then I won that, and then I went to the Junior Cup semi final, and two went through to the final, and I was second because I'd missed one. In fact, I think I missed two, and I get through as second place, and then, as you say, the cup final, I get 5 out of 5, and John Fallon was a goalkeeper, and then the next day...
John Fallon, ex-Celtic keeper? Was he? I bet you haven't done all the Rangers fans.
And then the next day in the Daily Express, I've got the cuttings, super boss Jock, obviously Jock Wallace, and super short Mark, do you know what I mean? Brilliant.
Because I vaguely remember that. Obviously, we didn't know who you were at the time, but in later years, it was remarked upon how you'd come through this as a boy, and you know, you'd clearly had a knack for taking penalties. So, that you were into the reserve team under Frank Connor. That was an exceptional reserve team.
We had a good side.
Do you think of the players that were on it?
I mean, even when I went up and was on the ground staff, Ben Casey was there. Do you know what I mean? The reserves. Peter Mackey, good pros, who was good to learn from. Do you know what I mean? John McCluskey, do you know what I mean? Who I would love to have seen make it.
Well, how good was he? Because people thought, not many people remember him. Not many people saw him at close quarters the way you would have.
I think his career declined early, and it shouldn't have. Do you know what I mean? But I remember him with Scotland under 15s against England. Outstanding.
That was live in the telly.
And I think different from George, equally as good.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I love George. I thought George was a great player.
Was he more of a winger rather than a forward?
More of a could take people on, do you know what I mean?
A dribbler.
More like that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But an outstanding talent, and just one that slipped away, do you know what I mean? And it would have been great to see how he could have ended up.
Well, ideally, it would have been him and George up front.
That would have been some brilliant combination, two brothers together. Because George was a great player.
And how good was Charlie at that age then? You know.
Well, I played with Charlie under 14, and you could see that he was going to be a good player, very confident. And it just continued
all the way through.
Do you know what I mean? His progress, and it was no surprise, do you know what I mean, that he did well for Celtic and that he got a move, do you know what I mean?
When you think of you'd Pat Bonner breaking through, you'd Charlie, a wee bit later you'd Paul McStay, you'd Willie McStay, and I always think you come into that bracket as well because you had a good career, but there was a few guys in there that were unlucky, guys like Danny Craney and John Hart and John Weir were good players, but just somehow failed to make the jump.
Well, John Halpin and John Weir both made their debuts, or they were both in the squad when I made my debut against Dundee United. Because we were the three. Because obviously, when you're going to get your debut, more often than not, it's because the team is at a point where they're maybe struggling, and the team had lost a couple, so there was a clamour to make changes, and that's what he done for the Dundee United game.
And what about Frank Connor? Everybody that I read speaks a world of Frank Connor.
Very good.
So and he had a reputation at that time for being great with boys and instilling discipline, but fun at the same time.
Everything that you've just said, do you know what I mean? It was a pleasure. He was a hard man to please, but he drove you on in a nice way, and he could pick you up, do you know what I mean? Give you a ear bashing when you needed it, and you had to accept it. But very good with the boys. Very, very good.
And then you guys like Jim Duffy and Davy Moyes.
Jim Duffy was a good player.
Well, you know, Jim Duffy in another era might have been a great Celtic player, but he was in competition with Big Roy, who was exceptional.
That's right.
And he was very, very unlucky.
Yeah. And David Moyes, as you said, come into the team as well.
Because the you know, for any younger guys listening to this, These days, when Celtic want a player, they go out and buy somebody.
That's right.
In our generation, if you needed somebody, you dipped into the reserves because you had such a good pool to
That's
choose.
Right. And it would be nice if it was like that more of now. Do you know what I mean? That you had players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Celtic in the past have been guilty of going and buying players and not giving some of their youth players or young players a chance. Do you know what I mean? I think Brendan Rodgers is different.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll gladly play somebody, do you know what I mean, that's good enough.
Mm-hmm. So I remember you being in midfield for the reserves occasionally.
And
being left back. So
I started
what
off,
was your natural role?
I started off, I played midfield for my school,
mm-hmm.
always midfield. Played outside left, left wing, inside left for Celtic Boys Club.
Mm-hmm.
Midfield, so all the way to the left, do you know what I mean?
Right.
And then when I was in the youth team at Celtic and the reserve team, competition was fierce.
Mm-hmm.
And to get my place in that position, like Tommy Burns, Murdo, mm-hmm. were all there. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was going to be a hard slog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I fitted comfortably into left back at times, and there was spaces there. And when we played the first team in practice games, I always did reasonably well against Davy Proven and things like that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just got my chance. Mm-hmm.
Now, you touched upon your debut at Tannadice. We'll fill in what was happening at the time. As you say there, we'd get beat 3-0 at Ibrox. We'd been beaten 2-0 with Aberdeen at Celtic Park. And I think Big Billy was a wee bit exasperated, and you and John Weir get thrown into the deep end.
That's right.
At Tannadice. Now, Dundee United were an exceptional team in
Very
the
good.
Days. And yet, both of you did well, and we got a good result that night.
I remember getting a telegram from Jimmy Lumsden that night just before the game. Concentration and confidence, they said. I always remember it.
Mm.
And I did well that night. It was such a big thing because the place was packed. Mm. It was packed out. Do you know what I mean?
The old Tannadice had a great atmosphere.
It did,
you were supposed to
it did. They were a good side, so we got a great result at 0-0, and we played Airdrie on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And we won 4-1. And again, I've got a wee cutting up the stairs from the Sunday Mail because which are just the team you love to get all these cuttings, and you think, oh my God.
Mm.
And it said the kid with the left foot looks likely to last longer than Gabriella Brum, who was the Miss World, who she just won Miss World, but she got taken out of away for cheating or something like that. So she only lasted about a few days. Do you know what I mean? So that was his thing then. But and then we played the D United the following Wednesday. And get beat.
Well, that was a sore one. That was a bit of a drubbing.
That was a drubbing that night.
So it was, but again, they were an exceptional team, and Celtic were going through a wee phase of sort of reorganising the team. Billy, was trying to find the blend, and happily enough, within a matter of weeks, we went in a great run. And I think the first big game that I remember you playing in was the Rangers game, where we won 3-1 and Charlie scored twice.
That's right. Yeah. That was at Parkhead.
What's your memories of that then?
That was in February. That's right, it was snowing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cold day. I just remember the din. I remember walking out in our jerseys and the Rangers players beside us and just thinking, wow, this is it. Do you know what I mean? This is it. We need to do it here and need to play well, and then get out in the roar. It was just because some of our crowds were good in that season and some weren't so good.
Yeah,
so the years there was some sparse crowds at times. But it was full 56,000, and I think I played against Davy Cooper that day, and again I always seemed to do reasonably well against him. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I knew he would always try and beat me an extra time, so rather than just cross the ball. But it was a great day, very cold as you said, and great victory.
So what would the dressing room have been at the end then?
Willie Johnson played that day.
Willie Johnson, didn't you, right?
Come on.
I've got a picture
of him.
Mm-hmm. So what would the dressing room have been like at the end of the game when you've won?
Oh.
You know, an Old Firm game.
Ecstatic.
You know,
ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ecstatic and just over the moon. And obviously my first game, people saying well done and that, and then getting out after the game and your dad's there and everything. It's just a great moment, do you know what I mean? A great moment. One of the highs.
Yeah, definitely. And then we beat them at Ibrox as well, which led us on to Tannadice on a Wednesday night. And we just needed a point to win the league, but we beat Dundee 93-2. And
that was
a very emotional night in a whole number of ways.
That's right, because I remember Billy McNeil and John Clark getting up in everybody's shoulders that night. A distant memory a lot of that now, do you know what I mean? That was 81 at that point. When you think of how many years ago. Tremendous. And then we won the league, and then we won the league the next year.
We did, we carried it on, because that team became settled at that point, which was a good thing.
And we should really win the league the next year, right, as well.
We'll touch on that, that's still a sore point. But recalling Tannery's that night, how did you, was that you felt part of it when you won the league?
Oh, I was obviously starting to feel a lot more, but I didn't take it for granted. I mean, because I knew, you know, players would come in and out, and I knew the managers was ruthless when he had to be. Do you know what I mean? So if I wasn't playing well, I would have been out of the team, so I must have been doing something okay.
Now, you played against some notable wingers. You've touched on two there. There was Davy Cooper, Willie Johnson, Wee Strachan, was a handful.
Yes.
Ralph Mullen was fast.
Yes.
Peter Weir was another guy who was tricky. Was there one player that you came across that you found especially difficult?
I think not especially. I think they were all talented wingers who I knew I could be in for a hard game and had to be on the ball. Do you know what I mean? Strachan, he's a good player.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Very good.
It's easy to forget how good he was.
Very good. Do you know what I mean? Ralph, who was a teammate of mine at Charlton, was exceptionally good. You know, could have went to a higher level. Do you know what I mean? But I think Ralph held himself back.
He got to Man United at one point. I know it didn't work out, but it shows you the esteem he was held in.
I think that was Alec Ferguson remembering what he could do, and I think it wasn't the right move for him at that point. I mean,
maybe just going in,
and his career was
in a slide.
Yes,
well, that's a shame.
But great memories. Great players to play against. Do you know what I mean?
They're all fantastic in their own right. And the other thing, looking back now, there were different styles.
Different styles.
Some of them were technical players, some of them were dribblers, some of them relied on speed.
Well, Ralph Millen was two-footed, Peter Weir was two-footed, but mainly on the left. Do you know what I mean? Strachan, obviously, not as much. Davy Cooper, more left-footed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Very rarely went on to his right foot. Do you know what I mean? So always wanted to cut back on his left foot. Do you know what I mean?
And Tannery's was a tight wee pitch, but Pittodrie games were brilliant in the days.
Very hard. A good side.
Probably the hardest games of the season.
We had to earn our victory against Aberdeen. Very good organised team. With good players in every position. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the season, that would be a crucial result. It was that tight.
Yeah. Now, in the 1981-82 season, you never missed a game. So there's a remarkable thing you're always remembered, I think, for its consistency. You know, some players are up and down, and they're quite mercurial. One week, you could be brilliant, and the next week, not so good. But, you know, you were hitting a terrific period of consistency.
At that time, between getting into the team, that season, the next season, and a bit of the next season, do you know what I mean? It went well for me, and I was producing reasonably consistent performances, do you know what I mean, that people could depend on. Obviously, there would be some bad games in amongst that, do you know what I mean? But over the piece, I was reasonably pleased with it.
Well, I think the thing you brought to the team was balance is a great thing in a team. Now, Danny had been at left back, and Alan Snedd at right back.
That's correct.
And it didn't. The team was maybe a wee bit lopsided.
Yep.
But when Danny went back to right back and you went to left back, there was balance there.
That's right.
And I remember thinking at the time it was a better balanced setup.
That's right.
Now, you played with a lot of talented players. I mean, I have to say,
a lot.
They were a great team, but they were a likable team as well. You know, I say that as a fan.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of Big Roy, you had Murdo McLeod, Danny, Davy Proven, Dom Sullivan, McGavrie, McCluskey up front.
Great. Tom McCarron.
I know, but I don't want to miss anybody I've missed out, I apologise.
Yes.
But you know the point I'm making. As a fan, I thought they were a likeable team.
It was a likeable team, and it was a good, strong team, full of a lot of experienced professionals. You know, added to the likes of Charlie, myself, or Danny Craney, or Willie McStay. Do you know what I mean? Whenever they went, and it was a good balance. And then Frank McGarvey came from Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? And
he was a big signing.
Because the competition was fierce, if you think about it, up front. You know, Frank, George McCluskey, do you know what I mean? Charlie.
Danny Craney as well.
Danny Craney. Even.
Yeah.
And later on, Alan McInally, Morris Johnson, do you know what I mean? So, always had good strikers.
There was always this joke about Celtic that any time there was a the team is in trouble, you know, if the defence were losing goals, I know, well, they will buy another striker.
And Brian McClair is another one, do you know what I mean?
Matt McGee, you know.
I didn't play with Matt McGee during that was later on, but he's one that has went, as you say. But I really think it was a great era for Celtic and their strikers. And George was a great player.
You know, David Prove made a point to me. He says that there was three players that he remembers who he can't separate in terms of talent, and it was Charlie, George and Alfie Conn. He says because the three of them that could do things in training that nobody else could get close to.
Alfie's another one that when I was young he was there. I was just kind of getting into the reserve side, and he had came from Spurs, and Johnny Doyle used to rib him right bad. I mean, a bit of blue nose, but there was actually a good rapport between the two of them, do you know what I mean? And Alfie was a good player, and I thought he did well for us,
He was another guy that was unlucky with injuries.
He was.
But as Davey says there, that the three of them, he says, I couldn't separate them.
That's right.
Because at different times they were so, so talented.
That's right.
But some of the players for that era also made a point. See, these days where you've got managers can pick and choose, they've got a big squad to choose for. And they can make changes in any given time. You very rarely get the same team 2 weeks in a row. I mean, back then, that team for 1 to 13 was basically playing for August right through to May.
That's right.
And some of the players make the point as well as they were playing with injuries, because there was two reasons for that. Number one, you didn't want to lose your place.
That's right.
And number two, you weren't that well paid. You needed the bonus money.
That's right.
And a lot of the guys that I've spoke to have said, we played through the pain barrier for Celtic, but number one, because it meant a lot to us, and we played for the jersey, but number two, financially, you know, we couldn't afford to miss it.
That's right, because it really, I mean, with bonuses, it ended up being a good wage, but when you look back, the basic wage was not great. Do you know what I mean? I actually got more money when I went to Charlton. That just shows you the divide.
Because Mick Conroy always makes a point as well, as you didn't even know what the bonuses were. You knew you got a bonus for winning the League or the Cup.
Right.
But the club decided it, and he says they were normally very generous.
That's
but
right.
It wasn't something you could bank on. That's A, right. Because you weren't guaranteed to win a trophy, and B, even when you won it, you weren't sure what you were going to get.
Times have changed. I mean, now the players have got a lot more power.
Oh, no.
An awful lot more power.
It's too far the other way.
I mean, I can't imagine having more power over Billy McNeil at that point. You know, if I'd been in there, I'd have been shown the door. Do you know what I mean? That's what it would be like. Who do you think you are? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just changed, and players' mentalities change. They're more confident in what they know they're entitled to and what they can get, and they'll move on and things like that. Do you know what I mean?
So who was the characters in the dressing room at that time? Who was the guys that kept you going?
Big Roy and Bobby.
Big Roy and Bobby were Ayrshire boys, weren't they?
So we all went up in the car.
Yeah, you'd have been close. The three of you would have been close.
Really close. Yeah. Great characters, had great laughs, got a torturous time growing up in that car, do you know what I mean? As a young boy, as you can imagine. But a good time, do you know what I mean, when I look back. But characters, Johnny Doyle. Johnny Doyle was a great character, had to have his boots shining.
You were an apprentice?
I was cleaning the boots, and if the boots weren't clean, spotless for training, you were in the boot room, and he had big gold rings on, do you know what I mean? Thumping you in the back, do you know what I mean? Get their boots. With a few expletives, do you know what I mean? David Proven, a character, Murdo, Frank McGarvey, big character.
Was there a leader in the dressing room at that time? Was one guy, but would Danny been a leader as a captain, maybe?
No, I wouldn't say there was a leader. I think there was a collective lead from them all.
Because they were strong characters.
There was a kind of stat year between them all that was very similar. You know, and a lot of them were give or take the same age. Roy, David Proven, Murdo.
We've not mentioned Tommy yet.
Tommy Burns, great man. What a lovely man, lovely left foot, lovely man, always had time for you, always had time for you.
No, I was going to bring Tommy up actually, because there was a point I remember Tommy complaining in the newspapers that too much, and he was serious, too much of Celtic's play went down the right flank. Because I think more so because Davey was a right winger.
That's right.
And we're talking about balance there. It was a wee slight imbalance.
That's right.
So the play tended to come down the right. And Tommy always complained that he used to complain about you and him weren't seeing much of the ball on the left.
And as a result, I tell you what used to happen then. Tommy being Tommy would go and get the ball, but he ended up a lot of time drifting back over that way, do you know what I mean? So the imbalance of the team was even more so at times on the left. And always felt as though Murdo was more of a compliment to me from a defensive point of view, who would keep to his position, where Tommy would drift and want to get involved in the game all over the place, where Murdo was maybe more of a tactically getting it right.
Now, the other thing about playing in the left was, and again I'm going back to what I remember reading at the time, was Tommy was great going forward, but it wasn't always great covering back. Which used to leave you quite bare at times. And even as a fan, I remember that noticing that sometimes you had a hard shift.
My pal Fitzy, who I've known for years and years, used to come to most of the games, and he always thought that about Tommy Burns. And however great he was going forward, the defensive side of things. So I think from my point of view, I like playing with both, but probably if I had to sway with one, it would be Murdo. From that point of view.
Well, Murdo was the only guy in midfield that could put a tackle in. Yeah. I mean, guys like Dom Sullivan and Paul McStay and Davey and Tommy Burns, just they'd one gear that it was forward.
That's right.
They'd near reverse gear.
That's right.
But the thing about Tommy is there was a period, particularly two or three seasons, when you were left back, Tommy was at his best.
Oh, he was, yeah.
And you would have had a brilliant view of that.
Yes,
and it's easy to forget what a fantastic player Tommy Burns was at his peak.
I don't think you can underestimate how good he was at his peak and had the sweetest left foot.
That's right.
Sweetest left foot. How he could turn one way, Tommy twist, Tommy turns, do you know what I mean? And that's very much was him. Do you know what I mean? Go one way and then just turn his body and get the other way and then put the ball out the other side. He was a threat.
Yeah.
He was a real threat.
And one of the games I've always appreciated Tommy for was, and you'll remember this well because you were left back, it was last game of the season, the second season we won the league in 82.
Right.
Rangers were playing at Pittodrie, they're 4-0 down, right? And Aberdeen have to win and hope that we draw, and we're drawing nothing each off time, and it was a struggle in the first half.
That's right.
So there was no indication we were going to roll over St Mirren in the second half.
That's right.
And in the second half Tommy was wonderful.
I do remember, I think it was a lovely day that day.
It was nice.
It was a nice day.
George took the headlines for the goals.
Yeah, that's right.
But Tommy was very much the guy who took the game by the scruff
of the neck when he had to.
Yeah, and that says a lot for him.
And he turned it at a point where we needed something to happen in the game, do you know what I mean? And as I say, we wanted to win quite well. That day, and St Mirren were quite a good team.
McAvaney, Billy Stark, you know,
Frank McDougall.
Oh, aye, what a team!
Tony Fitzpatrick, do you know mean?
Right.
It just shows you how things has changed. I mean, even teams like that, when you look back, it could always come and give you a hard time.
They were a talented bunch as well. Now, the Rangers being 4-0 did at half time, were you aware of that?
At this point, probably at half time, we'd be aware of it. We'd be aware of it that we had to.
Aye.
Step it up.
Yeah, in the second half. Yeah,
as soon as the first goal went in, we knew it was going to be our day.
So European games have always been a big thing at Celtic Park, and I think the two that stood out for your time was the Ajax game in Amsterdam.
That's right.
In 1982. So what do you remember about that?
I just remember that we were up against it.
They were good.
They were a good side. The names, I think I've still got the strip somewhere, or my son has got it.
Well, there's always been a bit of Dubai who get crossed up.
I'm not sure.
Because Dom Sullivan claims that somebody punched it off him.
I'm not sure, so but Graham Sinclair was marking him that night.
He did well.
He did do well. I thought we played really well that night. I think we tactically done very well, which we may not have always done in Europe at that point. That was a magnificent result. Magnificent result.
It was a fashion that was done as well. I mean, it's 2 minutes to go or something.
Oh, brilliant.
And George gets the goal, and you know, obviously, you're hoping not to do anything daft in the last 2 minutes, but you know, there's that feeling that we've done it.
Oh, definitely. I'm a big, big crowd that night.
They moved it to the Olympic Stadium for the bigger attendance.
That's right, it was a really big crowd that night. And the fact that Cruyff was playing as well, do you know what I mean? It made it special.
Did you get close to him in on the pitch? I mean, was he in your vicinity?
At times. At times.
Because that must be sort of awe-inspiring to play in the same pitch as a guy.
Him, Beckenbauer, Pele were the names that, when I grew up, 10 years of age, they were the big names. And then all of a sudden, you're playing against, and I played against Beckenbauer when he played for Hamburg.
That's right.
In a friendly.
That was about the same time.
Do you know what I mean? So... Amazing. They were at the end of their careers, but just...
So in terms of all round then, who was the best player you played against then? Who was the guy that stands out?
Well, we played against Juventus. And got a great result at home, 1-0. Well beaten in the second leg. But they had... I mean, I remember the Italian team, because they'd won the World Cup before that, and the names that come out, do you know what I mean? And they were all outstanding players, do you know what I mean? Outstanding. Dino Zoff, Bettiger.
Well, Liam Brady was there as well.
Liam Brady,
you know,
do you
he was the import.
Boniek, the Polish player was there, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then all the defenders there, the Sharia, Tardelli.
Brio. It was another one.
Gentile,
do you know what I mean?
These guys were household names back then.
Household names, I mean, that you had watched in the TV and winning World Cups, then all of a sudden. And I think, you know, there was a point that night where I had a chance. I think I had broken the left and the ball come over and I connected with it and it went past. And I always looked back thinking, God, to make it 2-0 would have made the next leg
a wee bit easier.
A bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. And the next leg, we went there and I always remember getting into the stadium about an hour before it, and it was mobbed, absolutely jam-packed an hour before, do you know what I mean? And the noise was unreal.
Mm.
But again, it was just a tall order that night, do you know what I mean?
They were good.
They were good.
But there wasn't any shame in getting
beat. No, definitely not. Definitely not. And obviously I had missed the Real Madrid game. It was on 1980. Well, obviously maybe...
Yeah, March 80.
March 80. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bit... 7 months before I got in the team, do you know what I mean?
You just missed it.
I just missed it, do you know what I mean? Which was.
But would you get taken over for that game?
No.
I thought they might have took some of the reserves and.
Didn't work that way, and financially they wouldn't do anything.
No, I suppose that would have been a lot of money then.
A lot of money. Yeah, it just wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I remember that night, 2-0 and then getting beat 3-0 over there.
That was a sore one. Now, the other one that stands out is at the Sporting Lisbon game, for obvious reasons. 2-0 down in the first leg. And yet we turned them over at Celtic Park.
Well, that was a great night. I was subbed that night. I got on, I think, last 10, 15 minutes or something like that. But it was a great night. We trounced them that night. Do you know what I mean? It was a typical Celtic night. Fast, furious, bombarding them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Them giving fouls away all the time. And it was just a great night.
Mm-hmm. Now, but the one thing I would say is that if there's a criticism at the time, I don't know how you feel about this because you were one of the defence. We left the defence too open.
Oh, very much open.
I mean, see, when you played Aberdeen and Dundee United, guys like Jim McLean and Alec Ferguson were cute. And you know, these days you've got holding midfield players. Yeah. We didn't have anything like that.
I think we were exposed at times. Mm. And I think.
And the defence often took the blame, but it wasn't really there.
I think we were an offensive team who everyone liked. And we're always regarded as a team that may lose goals. But as you say, I think Alex Ferguson and Jim McLean were, I would say, were tactically.
Well, they would tuck us in and we would attack.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you guys like Strachan and you know, like Ralph Mullen touched on earlier, they would just hit you in the break and you know, if they scored first, they would sit in and we would grow frustrated. I mean, there was a wee part at that time. It was really, really annoying.
Definitely. I think looking back now, I would love to have played in a team tactically a bit better than that way.
Tactically, you know what
I
mean? Aware.
Because I think we threw typical, threw everything forward. Maybe not as much nowadays now, do you know what I mean? Because teams are, Brendan Rodgers is more aware now of the dangers that can happen, especially in European nights. But Celtic have been guilty of that, I think, in a lot of occasions.
I know.
I used to watch, you know, recently, Izaguirre in particular, who's a, I always felt he was a good player going forward, but just left his post a lot. Do you know what I mean? You know, the two fullbacks would go up, and I'm thinking, two of these can't go up. Do you know what I mean? The two centre backs are going to get exposed here, and we got away with it a lot of times. But
maybe get away with it in Scotland because you don't get the same class of player to punish you.
Definitely.
And I think that shows maybe when we play in Europe sometimes that.
I don't think at that point that, you know, you're talking about tactically, you know, having maybe a more defence-minded attitude. I don't think it would have been accepted at times.
Well, a funny thing, I always thought Mick Conroy would have been a great holding midfield player.
Been,
and I think there was periods that he played in a team that we did really well. But, you know, there was better players than Mick, right? That were still
Not at what he did.
But not at what he did. And that was the thing, and I always thought he was very underrated. And
definitely.
He did a job that people didn't really notice, but I think if you were a teammate, you would notice.
That's right, definitely. And that brings me back to the situation with Tommy Burns and Murdo, who, not for 1 minute saying Murdo was a better player than Tommy, but they were different completely. But from a tactical point of view, Murdo was much more disciplined as a player. You know, I can imagine Mourinho, you know, with Tommy, he would be pulling his hair out, do you know what I mean? Because he's not sticking to his. But we got a lot of success with Tommy, you know, being the way he was as well, do you know what I mean? So it's...
Mm-hmm. I suppose he had a free rein to create.
A free rein. You know what I mean? He had a free rein and we had good players up front, so...
Definitely. Now, the 82-83 season, personally, looking back as a fan, will always haunt me a wee bit because up until the new year, things were almost perfect. We'd hardly lost a game. We were out in front of the league. We'd already won the League Cup. There was talk about the treble. Now, I've got a theory here and I don't know if you would agree with it or not. Charlie was coming up to his peak. He'd scored the goal in Amsterdam against Ajax, they'd got all the headlines. He scored the winner New Year's Day, spectacular goal. So the English TV cameras are around about January, February that they're coming up. He's on the St. Greavesy virtually every lunchtime. You know, so I actually feel his head get turned a wee bit and the entourage that was following Charlie, I think, where I was standing, affected the team.
Possibly. I still think we had enough of a lead that we should never have surrendered it. Do you know what I mean? We should never have surrendered it. It just dwindled and dwindled. But you've got a point, do you know what I mean? That may have turned him a wee bit. Do you know what I mean? That he knew that something was on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. I think anybody's head would be turned by that level of attention.
Of course.
It's not a criticism, it's just a fact that
affected the team.
Up until the new year, that things were great. And then after that, the thing that changed was. And then because his contract was running out. The closer it was coming, the bigger the headlines and the more the publicity he was getting.
That's right.
Whereas if his contract hadn't been up, that wouldn't have been a problem.
No, that's right. And he was a player that we needed. We needed him at that point to make sure he was still firing the goals in. It was just one of the things you gain experience from in later life. Again, you know, you're winning and you're losing and how you lost it and trying to make sure it never happened again. But I do feel as though I get two league championship medals, but that should have been the third.
I know.
Three in a row would have been, it'd have been good for me nowadays to say that.
And I think more so with the element of competition. Rangers were right out of the equation, and it was Dundee United and Aberdeen who the big two to play. Now, in 1983, there's a wee bit of a change because Billy left quite suddenly, and Davy Hay came in. So, what was the differences between Billy and Davy's managers?
Both got a ruthless streak. Both tell you straight. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if there's a great deal of difference. Do you know what I mean? Both Celtic men, both knew what they had to do to win. I got on well with Davy Hay, but obviously, you know, as my appearances show, you know, as it went on, and Brian Whittaker came, and Graham Sinclair played a few games as well. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, Brian Whittaker came, and I was out of the team at times, and then I worked my way back in. But I just always felt, you know, as time was going on, that I was on a shaky peg.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
So you didn't feel as settled under Davies as you maybe did under Billy?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, I think that was a fair comment. Now, as you said there, you fought back into the team, and in March 1984, I think it's fair to say you're best remembered for two penalties, for good reasons. Now, the first one was, again, to paint the picture, it was a second leg against Aberdeen in the League Cup.
That's right, Park, yeah.
And it was nothing each, with about 20 minutes to go, and they've got this great team with Wilt Miller and McLeish and Leight and Strach and all these great, great, great players. And, you know, the tension that day, I can remember actually not watching it, sort of watching it through the cracks of my fingers and as you stepped up to take the kick. So talk us through that one.
I've got some great action pictures up the stairs of scoring the penalty, and then I've got one where I turn, and then the next one where I jump on top of Danny. Do you know what I mean? It was a great day that day, and to win 1-0 and to score the goal against Aberdeen, who were very strong at that time.
They were the favourites, I have to say.
They were the favourites that day.
Yeah, yeah.
And we turned them over, do you know what I mean? And I think we played really well that day, do you know what I mean? It was a really strong performance from us. But to score the goal was...
So when you were taking a penalty, did you have a sort of method, or did you just make your mind up as you approached?
Well, I didn't side foot them. I tended to strike them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I tended to strike them, and I felt 9 times out of 10 if they were going to be saved, then it was going to be a good save they would have to make to get it, do you know what I mean? But it's sort of a knife edge when you go up, do you know what I mean? Because as soon as you get a penalty, the crowd obviously think well, that's us up, we're 1-0 up. People's reaction is, we've scored, that's or right. We will score.
Mm-hmm. They better score.
So you know the pressure's on.
I know.
The pressure's right on. And if things don't go well, then, you know, the buck falls with whoever's not scoring.
Well, I certainly don't remember you missing any, you know, it's, the... Yeah, in my mind's eye, I don't recall you missing much.
No, I had a good record at the penalties, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Throughout my whole school all the way through, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh, so uh-huh. It worked well for me.
So that goal against Aberdeen, 2-0 into the final at Hampden against Rangers, and things weren't going well, we were 2-0 down, and then we mounted a fight back, Brian McLair scored,
that's right.
And virtually in injury time, Murdo got fouled, and again, there's a penalty kick, and the pressure falls on you, so... Again, talk us through,
well,
through
that one. I can remember, and I knew exactly that the pressure was right on there. Mm. I looked up to the Celtic end, which was full, packed to the gunnels. We had made this spirited comeback, and it was all on me to score. Do you know what I mean? I knew what lay on me scoring. And I felt as though I tucked it away very well, do you know what I mean? And the relief, I think, rather than being ecstatic, it's the relief.
Mm-hmm.
That you've managed to score and keep us in the game and save face and all these kind of things. But obviously,
well, we're unlucky that because they get two penalties to our one.
That's right.
And one of them was pretty dubious, and you know, it's water under the bridge now, but at the time it was quite a painful feeling.
Well,
you know?
Definitely. Mm. That was a bad day that day. McCoist was in a hot streak, scoring a lot of goals at that point.
Well, see, Pat Bonner saved his penalty, but it shows you how lucky he is. The ball came right back to him. And another day, that goes somewhere else, or a defender gets a leg in.
I think he was a striker that obviously was very skillful scoring goals, but did carry a lot of luck.
So by April 1985, you're still on the team, and you're still playing fairly regularly. And then right out of the blue, you moved to Charlton, which was a big surprise to the supporters.
Well, I had been, before I signed there, I had been out of the team. I was out of the team at that point because I remember we played Rangers in a reserve game. We hammered them at Celtic Park, but I knew Charlton were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about Charlton. I'd tell you a lie, I did know. I knew Derek Hales played for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching TV when Derek Hales and Mike Flanagan were fighting on the pitch.
Find that.
Do you mean? So... I knew they were coming up. Arnie Warren was coming up, their chief scout, wanted me to go down. And I more or less had made my mind up because I knew it was in a downhill spiral at Celtic at that point, which I didn't want, but I knew it was.
Did the club make it clear you could go, or did they try and keep you in any way?
No, never tried to keep me.
No, so it was clear then that you were free to move.
Yeah, it was clear.
Because, you know, even after all these years, it was a crazy decision because you were only recognised left back.
Well, the thing is, I was only 23 at that point, 24.
Mm-hmm. You plenty of years left. So, that you know, it would have been one thing if you had a replacement, but it got to the stage, Danny had to go to left back again, and then they tried, believe it or not, they played Tommy there for a wee bit. Maybe he had this thing about, for a few months, that he played Tommy Burns at left back. What a waste of talent. Tommy just wasn't cut out for being left back.
No.
And this drifted on to Anton Rogan came. That's so the best part of 2 years, we had no recognised left back at the club after you left.
That's right. And the ironic thing is, I went down there and they signed 7 players.
Mm.
Jimmy Hill was the front man for the club, although he was putting no money in, do you know what I mean? But he was the front man.
Mm.
Lenny Lawrence was the manager. And we gelled very early on in the season and we get promoted from the second division to the first division, which would be the Premiership.
The top tier, yeah.
We got promoted right away along with Norwich and Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Norwich had Dave Watson, Chris Woods, all these players playing. Wimbledon had all the crazy gang, I mean, all them. So
won the FA Cup.
The FA Cup, do you know what I mean? So it really worked out well for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I suppose the hardest part for me was leaving home and going down there, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I grew to like it there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there about 6 years, do you know what I mean?
I know you're fondly recalled for doing things online and you know, I think you're remembered as one of the guys that helped get Charlton, because they were in the top tier for quite a number of years before they slid out of it again.
Well, when I signed on the 29th of April, and I went down to watch a game, and there was 2 games left of the season, and mathematically we could have went down.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a gamble, do you know what I mean? We won that night, so the pressure was off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rebuilding process started. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean, mm-hmm. and I signed, and Celtic won the Scottish Cup, didn't they?
We did that. Just a few weeks after you left, Dundee United at Hampden.
Yeah. Which was great, but I just knew it was time to go, and it was mm-hmm. a new experience mm-hmm. for me, and I was ready for it, and. Mm-hmm. I done well there.
Mm-hmm. And did you come across any of your old teammates when you were down in England playing? You must have played Charlie at Arsenal at some point, eh?
Charlie?
George McCluskey at Leeds, maybe?
No. Passed by George. But Jim Melrose played with us at Charlton.
He did, that's right. He ended up there.
You know what I mean? Colin Walsh. I played with Colin at under 17, under 18, under 21 with Scotland. Mm-hmm. And he was at Forest, and he came down, and he's a friend to this day, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But a well-run club.
Mm-hmm.
A very well-run club.
So then it was back to St Mirren, kind of ironically under Davy Hay, who'd sold you down to
Charlton. I negotiated a free transfer from Charlton, and they gave me at that point for the service, mm-hmm. As long as I went
back to Scotland.
Back to Scotland. Mm-hmm. But I'd get injured. I got injured against somebody at Selhurst Park. I can't even remember who it was. Two or three games before the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually felt as though it wasn't right. But I recovered during the summer, and I mm-hmm. went up there, and I got a knock early on. And I played, and my knee was up, and I felt as though I had to prove myself, and I should never have done it. And mm-hmm. I should have stopped and just got all the treatment and whatever else. But I felt as though we had a young physio. He was like a trainee physio who wasn't strong enough to say you really shouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
And I'd done it, and I wasn't doing myself any justice, do you know what I mean? And I got an operation, and
mm-hmm.
it just was a time where it's probably one of the bleakest times football wise that I don't look back in anything. And I don't think any St Mirren supporters from that time would probably say I didn't do justice, do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
No, that's a pity it should end like that.
It's a pity it ends, but and then because I'd been out for so long at St Mirren injured, I was actually glad when, you know,
mm-hmm.
the decision was made that you should really not play, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, at least that happened in your 30s.
That's right.
You know, some poor souls, you know, it happens in their teenage years, and it deprives them of their career. So what would his, that brings us on to the modern day now, so what does Mark Reid do these days?
Mark Reid teaches people to drive. So I've been doing that for 23 years, which I've enjoyed. Mark Reid's a papa now to my wee boy with mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. red strap on, who lights up my life now.
Good.
I play golf at Dundonald Links, mm-hmm. which hosts the Scottish Open next month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I play average. Have my good few holes, but
so who was the talent at Celtic Park in the golf back in the day?
Wasn't it a big sport then?
No.
It wasn't a big sport, and it's not like that is now, do you know what I mean? Where there's, you know, there would be golf days, but I didn't really play that much then, do you know what I mean? It was only really in later life that I maybe took it up a wee bit more serious, do you know what I mean? To try and get my posture like, you know, this kind of thing. But played golf during football, but not a lot. I wish I had.
Yeah, yeah. Did any of your old teammates come for driving lessons?
Oh, no.
No.
No, I'm down here now, do you know what I mean? So,
so you're sort of doing an
Irvine,
I have to say, so
yeah.
You're out the way
of
you.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
But it's been a good career, the driving.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
been a good career, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Enjoyable work?
I've probably got the right attitude for it because I'm patient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I understand what's required to learn to drive. It's not mm-hmm. easy. I mean, there's a lot of frustration in it for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I've managed to hang in for all that time. Maybe a few more years, and then I'll pack it in. Let it go.
So last question, really, just to say, is there one outstanding memory you've got looking back at your time at Celtic? Something that would be above everything else?
Make my debut.
I'll be back at Tannadice. Some feeling.
Aye, sticks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Obviously, I hadn't made it. But it felt as though I'd made something. Do you know what
mm-hmm,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'd accomplished something that I knew a lot of people didn't do. You know what I mean? All my friends at school and people that I knew, you know, that I had put myself at that level at that point. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And to get there and to have the opportunity to play,
mm-hmm.
and to try and stay there. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know, because boys have got to make sacrifices, yeah. in their teenage years.
Oh, I think I did.
And be fairly disciplined.
I think I was lucky that way, because there was players maybe equally as good at certain points. It's, you know, going through school and.
Mm-hmm.
They fall by the wayside quickly. Do you know what I mean? There's been a lot of players, you know, that people will say, yeah, they could have done this or they could have done that. But I think looking back now at my age, to say I played for Celtic, it's huge.
Mm.
And even my children, I've got Graham, Gillian and Shelley. Graham's 32, Gillian's 30 and Shelley's 25. They all have moments where people talk to them about Celtic and they'll remember their. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember your dad.
That's right. That must be nice to be formed.
It's great for them. It's mm-hmm. great for them. And I think my son's up in Aberdeen working. And through his work, he's met people who are Celtic people, do you know what I mean? And it's been good for him and the older men who remember me.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got my two of my Celtic strips, and he's got all my medals. And he got a guy in Aberdeen to put it in the most beautiful frame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gorgeous. And we've got the Celtic squad in it, and the medals are all below it,
mm-hmm.
and then the two Celtic strips are at the side.
That's great.
It's brilliant for him. And
which strips was it? Is it particular games or
two of the cup final strips?
Was it? That's good.
Two of the cup
That's
final good. Strips. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a big thing for him to have them, and his friends in, and mm-hmm. even my wee grandson was up and he was looking up and he says, "That's Papa."
Mm-hmm.
That's Papa.
You know? Well, the thing is, they're proud of your achievements.
Of course, though.
It's
nice, probably means back. More to me that they're proud than me.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, thanks very much for your time, Mark, and just wish you all the best for the future.
You're welcome. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Enjoyed that podcast. There'll be more along soon. Celtic Foundation Golf Day has just passed for those of us who participated. It was an excellent day once again. Thanks to all. The next big thing that the Celtic Foundation are going to do is, if you want to run in the Glasgow Marathon taking place at the end of September, you can do and nominate the Celtic FC Foundation as your chosen charity. Pretty straightforward to do. If you want to know more about it, go on to the Celtic Foundation website and see what you can do. Anyway, enough of me. It's me, Harry Brady. That was him, St. Anthony, with him, Mark Reid, saying good night and God bless. Good night. Reflections of my life. Oh, how they fill my eyes. Thank you.